The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome in to Rover Sports. We got a full house tonight. This is exciting. And we are on the eve of the college conference championships, as well as rolling into another wonderful week of NFL football. So for everybody who's paying attention here, which is everybody, presumably, who's listening, unless you're asleep, we're on 97.5 HD2, WWDBAM.com, and this we will be running in about a day and a half on Bruce Grossinger Facebook. We are now, the hackers are gone, the hackers are in jail, they haven't been pardoned yet. But I'm actually back on Bruce Grossinger Facebook. So many of you.
We can't buy any more tools anymore, more power tools.
So I won't be selling any hammers, power tools. There are no boat giveaways. There will be no trucks. Because for 2 months I was hammered with, like, I felt like I was a Dr. eBay. And for all of you people, I'm sorry, the boat and the, you know, doesn't exist. And ironically, they, like, I'm selling off my dad's stuff, you know, which is morbid humor. My dad died 40 years ago, so maybe better late than never. But I think that gives us a perfect segue to roll right into our first little segment, which will be a 10-minute segment about how did the Eagles turn it around so fast from that Tampa Bay game to the present? We'll go a little bit around the horn. Spence, how the heck are the Eagles doing this? They beat the Ravens. They're a real football team, aren't they?
I mean, it is amazing. To go back to the beginning of the year, it was interesting because Saquon Barkley said that they treated those first four games like preseason. So they weren't really in rhythm. I think that they were just experimenting. They wanted to win, but it wasn't full tilt desperation. And really, this running game, I got to say that there's a couple MVPs of the team that are really special. I think that Cam Jurgens is doing a really nice job filling in for Jason Kelce. I look at Saquon Barkley. He's been incredibly effective this year. He's one of the MVPs of the team.
One of them?
Yes. He is the MVP of the team and probably the league. It's him and Josh Allen. He's going to be right up there. He might break, what is it, Jamal Lewis's rushing record or Adrian Peterson. But also, it's Vic Fangio, and I doubted that older Vic Fangio could come in.
He lost his fastball, I think, was the term.
That's exactly what I
said. He lost his fastball.
He left Miami, which had some talent, and I was worried, is this another, you know, Patricia hiring? He's been incredible. And then these rookies, they're hitting, and I think that they're even playing better than rookies usually play. And Quinyon Mitchell's playing like one of the best corners in the NFC. So combined with all these picks, the Eagles are just, they're taking care of a favorable schedule, but I still think that the physicality of defense is playing well.
So Dr. Steve Lewis was actually our on-site rover for the Ravens-Eagles game. So first I want you to tell us a little about the ambiance, what it's like to be at that stadium, the weather, the Eagles fans. Just give us a... We're going to close our eyes and just picture, you know, you were there. What was it like?
Stadium's a lot like the Link. I think the Link's nicer, but it was very well represented by Philadelphia Eagles Nation, no doubt. There was a lot of Eagles fans there. They were respectful. Baltimore fans were respectful. It was very cold, but dressed appropriately, as we know how to do. But it was a great atmosphere and almost of a home game type of thing as the game progressed. I just want to, you know, piggyback on what some of the things Spencer said with Vic Fangio and what he's done with this defense. The game is simple, really. It's a game of getting to the quarterback and protecting the quarterback. And the Eagles are getting to the quarterbacks. The game is won and lost in the trenches. And what Vic Fangio has done, especially with the loss of Brandon Graham, Jalen Carter's playing terrific. This team, and he's getting held and double teamed. They're filling the gaps. They're doing everything. They are number one in the league in total yards defense. They are number three in the league in passing yards total defense. Rushing yards, they're seventh. They're fourth in the league in points, and they're second in the league in the opponent's third down conversions. That speaks volumes. Now, Spencer, what you said is true. They played a pretty poor schedule, but this game against Baltimore, this is a really good team, Baltimore. They really are. This was a statement win for this on the road as a 3-point underdog. The Philadelphia Eagles, Bruce, made a statement win on Sunday.
Coach, when you saw the game, did it surprise you, the outcome of that game and the way they dominated, particularly at the end of the game? And also, how do you explain the fact they scored no points in the first or third quarter, but yet after the game, it almost feels like they dominated, because we kind of forget. We have amnesia for those real weak points. But I guess as an Eagles fan, we're accustomed to them scoring no points in the first quarter, which is kind of bizarre. How do you explain that?
Well, I don't think we can explain it right now. They've had slow starts all season, and it's always interesting. I go back to when Sirianni got criticized about what he was saying, going for it. I was down there with you with Jacksonville, and everybody wanted to bury Sirianni. And ever since that day, Doc, it seems like it's changed hands. Sirianni doesn't interact with the fans anymore. He's not a clown. They're not going after every 2-point conversion. They're going back to basic football and staying within their own lanes. And let's not forget, this team, we've talked about it. Dr. Lewis has mentioned it. Spencer's mentioned it. Has so much talent. Saquon Barkley's an MVP. We get him from the Giants, and he's a Penn State. Everybody loves him. He's dominating. He's a class act on and off the field.
Class act.
AJ Brown hasn't put up the numbers he's used to putting, but has been very humble, you know, since then.
Yeah, his attitude's been tremendous. So AJ, Devontae, this team hasn't been a diva that's really become unmasked so far. Obviously, winning is a great opiate. And since, obviously, they've been winning, people are, you know, they're certainly quiet about wanting to fire Sirianni. And again, his behavior has been better. Charlie, welcome to the show. You're watching the Eagles as a national expert. Did the game in Baltimore surprise you? And what did you take out of the game? As a viewer, what did you notice watching that particular game?
Yeah, 100% surprised me. I didn't think Philly had played many great teams going into that, and I thought this was going to be Baltimore's day, to be honest. I think if you break it down at the end of the day, the Eagles have the best left tackle in the game, and they also may have the defensive player of the year. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to beat Watt out, but, you know, Zach Vaughn, when you look at it, is the highest-ranked linebacker in the NFL right now, and his numbers are better than Luke Kuechly when he won NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, I think, again, it's a lot of these unsung guys. Barkley's, like, obviously going to be the name everyone talks about. But, you know, I think you got two guys right there, again, that are right at the top of their profession, the best at their position in the NFL. And it looks like, again, the team has really played well the last 6 weeks. You can't take anything away from them for going into Baltimore and dominating like they did.
Charlie, the game was 9-0, and then Lamar Jackson went really cold. The Ravens offense, Nelson Aguilar dropped a pass, Say Flowers couldn't get going. It seemed like Lamar Jackson, and he's been a phenomenal quarterback, but in these big spots, he just hasn't delivered. And it seems like him and Justin Tucker had a rough afternoon.
I want to be safe because, again, I went out on a limb and said that Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, neither of them would ever win a Super Bowl. Jackson, I don't think it was his fault, though. Aguilar should have caught that pass. Flowers should have caught the pass. But it remains to be seen. Like I said, if Baltimore doesn't get, you know, to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, you know, you'll have a bunch of MVPs, but no rings.
That is quite true. And the funny thing about kickers is that oftentimes, I remember David Akers, he just, you know, and I hope this isn't the case for Justin Tucker. He's such a great guy. I think a Hall of Famer. But sometimes you just lose it, and they never get it back. It's like a baseball pitcher. Sometimes you just lose it, and they're washed up. I don't think that's the nature of it. And the fact that Tucker is not missing, you know, he's not missing by a lot. Like, he's pushing it, he's pulling it. Obviously, I can imagine kicking has got to be one of the most mental things, the most pressurized positions. So what are your thoughts? I mean, you were there. You must have been surprised by him doinking off the upright. And also missing those two field goals, what was that like?
Yeah, they left 7 points on the board. That can't be understated. But you're right, Bruce. I mean, there were boos coming down for this guy that's a Hall of Famer and a player that's been an icon in this Baltimore franchise. A kicker, I mean, it's kind of like when Mackie Sasser could throw the ball to the pitcher. It gets in your head. And this is this is career ending. I mean, I don't even know how you fix this. And John Harbaugh is a special teams guru, but you got to put him in. I don't even know how they fix that if for this coaches, but it's not our problem. Jumping on what we're talking about here with the Eagles and the Eagles offense, they're struggling, you know, to score points in the first quarter again. That's been a theme all season. But like Coach said, Sirianni is going to basics here. You have to once in a while throw your onions out there and make a move, a hard decision, a hard play. But for the most part, you can't be going crazy with these 2-point conversions and all the things that he was doing, going for it on long. But the Eagles' offense has got to be predicated on Saquon Barkley. It has to be that way. Jalen Hurts has got to be a game manager. He really does. He should not be throwing the ball more than 20 times.
Here's the trivia question that Bruce told yesterday. How many passes did Jalen Hurts throw in the second half of that game against Baltimore?
Well, he threw 19 for the game.
How many in the second half?
Two.
Very small number. You got it right. Two is the right number.
Two. I just thought
that was a jelly bean count.
That is an unbelievable. That might be the lowest total.
So the Eagles
are
winning, but let's look at you. I know, Bruce, I know you love numbers here. The Eagles' offense is third in the league in total yards, but guess what they are in passing yards? They're 28th in the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
Think about that. They're number one in rushing yards. They're third in the league in total yards and 28th in passing yards. So they're winning these games. They're 17th in points. They're ninth in third down conversions. But this is how this Eagles team has got to win. Old school NFC East football. And they, you know, when Jalen, I mean, you saw Jalen Hurts. I mean, he telegraphs the passes. He follows the first progression. There was an attempt at Saquon Barkley going to his left, and it almost was a pick six. They have to stick to the run game.
Exactly.
They have the MVP of the league. I mean, this guy is like a godsend. I mean, thank you for the Giants organization for letting us sign him. But they have to stick to the recipe. And if they do that, and the egos, Bruce, you called it, A.J. Brown's been incredible. I mean, he's not pouting. They have to
accept. Well, he gets a lot of targets every game.
But they have to accept the fact, AJ, Devontae, they have to accept the fact that this is Saquon Barkley's team. He is the MVP of this team. He's the MVP of the league, and they have to allow him to be that, and Jalen as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think we have to accept the fact that Jalen Hurts is a guy who has one read and a dump off, and we almost, you know, the Eagles almost won a Super Bowl. We were 3 points away from beating a tremendous Chiefs team. To just accept that's who he is. And I think it maybe took a while for Kellen Moore to really, he had such a complex scheme, multiple layered scheme with a ton of reads. And when you did that, I think you tied up Jalen Hurts. Now you can see right now, and you were there, that he basically looks at A.J. Brown. And maybe a dump off to Saquon, whoever the running back is, and that's it. And obviously, we could look at the other, you know, occasionally Dallas Goddard,
but he's efficient scrambling also.
He is running the RPO. He does. One of the big deals is he looks healthy again,
and the push play, the sneak play, is huge.
It's
a godsend, and the defense is better because of Jalen Hurts. So you have to give him credit because he rests the defense.
Yeah, I mean,
the
Eagles, you have to accept that he is who he is,
and he doesn't turn it over.
He doesn't turn it over because he's not throwing the ball, like Dr. Lewis said. When you're not throwing the ball, Spencer, if let's say, for example, Saquon's not in the game and we have to rely on Kenny Gainwell and he's putting the ball up 30 or 40 times, we might have a different season right now. Because when he's done it in the past, he's susceptible to turnovers.
Yeah, like the Saints game. Remember the Saints game earlier in the year? Kellen Moore was trying to do too much with this offense.
So just take it out of his hands and let him roll a Saquon.
But really, you look at Joe Burrow, for example, and Burrow might have statistically better numbers. Or last night, Jameis Winston probably threw for more yards than the Eagles will throw for in a month. But that doesn't lead to winning passing yards.
You're right. And we're not going to get into that game, but anybody who hasn't seen the game should just look at the highlights of the game last night. But you look at Bo Nix and Jameis Winston, that game was incredible. The amount of passing yards, the pick sixes, you can't have any more excitement in one game than you had last night, even if you're not a fan of either team. And when you watch that game and you look at the Eagles, you're looking at different sports, you know. And Jameis and Nick, especially Jameis, you know, it's kind of tragic. A couple of those, they weren't like terrible passes. But nonetheless, we have a surprise second segment. And I don't think anybody is going to be happier than Charlie Bowles. But we're going to use the same format where we go around there and we're going to take our break at the top of the hour. But we're going to talk about the four conference championship games. We're going to be cognizant of our time because we'd like to finish up at 10 after the hour. But basically, I want to talk about these. I want to hear picks. I want to hear analysis of these exciting college games. So, Spence, yes. You want to lead us in? Go ahead.
Absolutely. And, Bruce, I'm actually going to – can I start us off on Friday night? Because that is a critical game. Boise
State. You have four games.
Stick to the four?
Yes. Please don't change the format midstream. Okay. Go ahead.
At noon.
You're tightening me up in certain areas. And I won't acknowledge because this is a family show. Go ahead.
So we have Arlington, Texas, the Big 12 championship. We have one newcomer to the conference, and that's Arizona State. And then we also have Iowa State. Due to the tiebreaker of BYU winning, Iowa State is going to Arlington. Arizona State is missing their best wide receiver, Jordan Tyson, for the game and tragically for the season. But Arizona State right now is a 2-point favorite with Cam Scadaboo, Sam Levitt, and this team is trying to go from picked last in the Big 12 to winning the Big 12 in Arlington. They are a 2-point favorite here.
Okay, so it's no secret that I'm a huge Arizona State fan, and you've totally turned me into that. I'm just feeling Arizona State. Cam Scadaboo is the third best rusher in the land. And I think that Iowa State, I have respect for them. I haven't watched a lot of their games, but I believe Arizona State is truly the Cinderella. This is the Cinderella pick. And I believe that it's going to be that Dillingham is so exciting. I encourage everybody to watch the game. So I'm picking ASU in this game, and I'm very biased, I have to admit. Steve, what do you see in this particular contest?
I kind of agree with you a lot. ASU has been very efficient on third down conversions, and their defense has been strong. I pick.
Are
ASU
you on teamrankings.com? Where are you reading these stats?
I have. I do my homework. But they're very efficient. 15th yes. in the country in third down.
Yeah, that's Brian Ward, baby. That defense.
Yeah, for sure. So I agree with you, Bruce. I think ASU is gonna.
Josh, what do you think about this game? Big 12 has really been exciting. There's been a ton of variants. Colorado fell out at the last moment, as did BYU. You had a great season, and disappointing for them to lose
Kansas
to ASU. Kansas State, even Kansas, this has been the most exciting conference to watch, the best parity, I would say. What do you see about that contest?
Right.
I would go with Arizona State. Dillingham's a young coach, and we'll see where it takes him.
Spets.
Yeah, I like Arizona State, and I think that, I mean, I hope UNLV can beat Boise so Arizona State can get a bye, but they're likely going to be like a 12 or 11 seed, but I really hope that they can complete the task and win this conference.
Colin, what do you see in this game?
I'm going to go Iowa State. I like the way they're built up. I'll take the Cyclones.
Charlie.
I agree with Colin. I think Iowa State is going to win outright.
Wow.
Let's do the ACC game next, Betts.
The ACC is in prime time. And you know who rescued Miami is our friend Fran Brown, who's a former guy from Camden. A former coach out of Camden was at Georgia. Fran Brown, Syracuse, and Kyle McCord. They beat Miami to propel Clemson. Clemson was left for dead with three losses on the year, and now they're back, and they're also facing Southern Methodist. Isn't it crazy? The program that almost died in the 1980s is now back with Rhett Lashley coming from the American Conference right to the ACC. This game will be in frigid Charlotte, North Carolina at 8 o'clock on ABC. And the SMU Stangs are favorited over Dabo and Clemson. That's how far
by
Clemson
how much?
Has
by
fallen
how many?
By 2.5.
Okay, so in this game, I truly believe in Clemson. I believe in Dabo. He's been there many, many times. So much experience. SMU had a great year. I didn't watch a ton of them, but I believe in Clemson. They really have come back. When you come back from the dead, as you alluded to, I think it means a lot. And I think Dabo is the difference of the game. I'm taking Clemson Tigers.
So SMU, 9-game winning streak, right? 9 in a row. They're on a roll. What a season they've had. And but I think it ends here. I got Clemson in this game.
Josh?
I'm going to go with SMU. I really am.
Wow.
SMU's, you know, let's go back to the old way, you know, in the 80s. So I'm gonna stick with them. I'm
gonna go Dickerson. Eric Dickerson. And you have to think James. About the Freddie best James. Player ever.
The coach
Pony Express.
Going old school.
Oh, so I know that there's Alabama people around, but I want SMU to win this game. I want them to take care of Clemson. I like Kevin Jennings, this quarterback. I like the explosiveness of SMU. And Cade Klubnik is just not very good. I mean, he's had opportunities to win games. He hasn't done it. So the running attack of SMU is very good, and they have great athletes, and they've recruited well in Dallas. So I'm going to take SMU.
Kyle, what do you see this ACC championship?
I'm feeling good about the non-traditional powers coming up, so I'll go SMU too.
Wow.
Charlie, what do you think about this interesting game?
Charlie's got my back.
Actually, Clemson winning would be terrible for Alabama because SMU could probably stick in there even though they haven't beat anyone. And Bama might get kicked out with Clemson getting the automatic pick. With all that said, Clemson's been there before. Dabo's been in this situation. I think Clemson wins. Hate to say that.
So not surprised you said
Penn
that.
State. We'll save the Penn State game for the last one because it's one you'll be actually attending. Let's go game three.
Okay. Well, we got a team that played a long game. Or we got a team that played an overtime battle against an old rival in Georgia Tech. It is the Georgia Bulldogs. They have not been classic Georgia this year, certainly. They are in the SEC championship in Atlanta. They're playing one of the hottest teams in the land, the 11-1 Texas Longhorns that just arrived to the conference. And the Texas Longhorns here in the Georgia Dome are 2.5-point favorites.
Okay, in this game, I think this is going to be a great game, of course. I don't know what Georgia team's going to show up. Admittedly, the team that played against Georgia Tech, if that team shows up, they're definitely losing. But I believe it is in the Georgia Dome, and it is, you know, Texas is the away team.
Yeah.
And I think Georgia, when they have a chance they have a lot of pride. They're conventional, traditional SEC. And I think Texas knows that they're going to still get in the dance anyway. So I'm feeling good. This is my lock of the week in college. I am certainly taking
the lock of the week.
Wow. Yes, I am lock of the week in college.
So you think it's going to go like the first?
So I'm taking Georgia, and we are at the top of the hour for a brief 10-second break. But everybody, stay here.
Lock of the week.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington Philadelphia.
Lock of the week. So I'm picking the Dogs, and that doesn't mean that I don't think the Longhorns could win the national championship, but I just think I feel the Dogs are used to the stadium, and I'm picking them. Steve.
And your niece goes to Texas, right?
She does, and I hope she doesn't watch this show. But in any event, here we go.
We can out them.
It's not my lock of the week, but it's close to the lock of the week. I just, you know, Georgia in Georgia in this game, even though 5-game winning streak for the Longhorns, I got Georgia as well.
I'm taking Georgia. I think they're a good team. I think they're on a mission.
Spencey, you watch both of these teams. You probably watch more Texas because of your Texas first cousin.
This Texas team is getting into shape. I mean, they just went to College Station. That defense is salty. It's nasty. Okay, Quinn Ewers is going to play a little bit better. They're out for revenge in this game. Okay, Georgia beat them, embarrassed them at home, and by 2 touchdowns by a lot. And I think that Texas, it's their time, and they're just the better team. I think they put pressure on Carson Beck. Georgia's running game's not the same. So I really like Texas, actually, to win the SEC.
Colin, what do you see? This ought to be a great game to watch. What do you think about this game?
I saw Georgia survive this weird rivalry game over the weekend. But I really just don't know if they have that Georgia soul in them this year. I'll go Texas.
Charlie, I think we'll agree this is going to be a fun game to watch. I mean, all these four games, this is a wonderful weekend. That's why we're having her dedicating her own segment to this. Not to mention, we get into the playoffs. This is really exciting. I personally wasn't really in favor of the 12-team playoff, but I have to tell you, it's so exciting right now. There's so many teams involved, and I'm really loving it. I don't think I've ever enjoyed college football more than this year. What do you see in this SEC powerhouse game?
I think you have two underachieving quarterbacks. Beck is, I don't know what happened to him. Or same thing, he tried to give the game away last week. I think Georgia will win the game. I think that, again, they're at the end of the day, I think that Texas, I think it's going to be very low scoring to begin with. I don't think you're going to have a shootout like everyone thinks. I think the opposite. And I think that in the end, Georgia will win again.
So it sounds like you're taking the under in the game?
Yeah, it looks like 49 and a half.
Probably taking the under and an interesting pick. Now we come
to the
crown
show.
Jewel, because we have an alumnus in the house, and we also have somebody named Spencer G, who's actually didn't figure on watching the Penn State Nittany Lions, but it's very clear, a huge Oregon fan, a big Danny Lanning fan. And you're going to be there in isolation at Lucas Oil Stadium. Why don't you tell us about the game and the spread?
Well,
and we'll give you. I'm going to lead off.
I'm
with
hoping
the
Arizona State and Oregon can pull it off. I mean, so Oregon is a 3.5-point favorite. Penn State again gets uplifted by the crazy upset in Columbus by Ohio State going down, by Ryan Day going down, and now Penn State comes in there with a chance to win the first Big Ten championship since McSorley and Saquon back in 2016, Josh? What's the year?
2017.
So it's been 7 years.
Rose Bowl.
What a showdown. Oregon, a 3.5-point favorite at Lucas Oil.
Okay. So admittedly, I'm going to pick the game as I see it. I've watched a lot of both teams, and I love Josh, and I hope that Penn State wins. But I believe that Oregon is really, they're the beast of the West, amazing coaching. They really, I just think they're a more consistent team. And Penn State, in particular games, has certain dry spells. I think it's going to be a great close game, but I think I'm going to pick Oregon, with the spread. I'm picking the Ducks in this game.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Because I'm in the same boat as you. I have
I had to take the swords.
Oh, wow. You did. Okay. You did. And I feel a little bit better now. I mean, we got coach looking at me, staring me down. And
I took all the daggers.
I have so many friends that are diehard Penn State fans. Our friend Costa. I have so many. I'm
going
to be rooting. I'm going to be rooting for Penn State.
Are some going to this game?
Costa actually brought up a good point. He said, I wish they didn't make this game because, they're risking injury. They're going to be in the playoff.
Actually, doesn't even want this game, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Josh doesn't want
it. They're 11-1, he brought up a great point. They're 11-1. They're in the playoff. I don't want to see them burn themselves out and execute plays and get hurt. So, but that being said, I mean, Oregon, I watched a lot of both teams like you, and I'm going to be rooting very hard for Penn State to win this game because I love Penn State. But Oregon is just the elite team. Not only do I pick them to win this game, I picked them to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Josh, obviously, we're going to give you some this is your alma mater. Give us some detail. I'm going to give you time to give us more detail about how you assess this Penn State team, personnel, what you think. And also how they match up against the Ducks. I'm sure it's a dream to have Penn State get here and have a chance to win the Big Ten championship. And if they do, it would be great.
Oh, it'd be great. It would be phenomenal. You know, I mean, but in all honesty, the reality that you got here on a technicality because Michigan, barely 500 team, knocks off Ohio State. Ohio State plays its worst game in years. I mean, you have a quarterback from Michigan, 2 interceptions, 62 yards passing. It's a walk-on quarterback. And he beats Ryan Day for the 4th straight time. It's embarrassing. And then you got, James.
As predicted.
Yeah, James Franklin, who, in many ways, he showed up 2 weeks ago with the game against Minnesota and stepped up. And then last week, I think he went over the top once again with throwing the ball. Now, they're going to say, his excuse was they were playing the 4th and 5 fifth strings. I don't care. You don't throw the ball that late.
Penn State, bet on the over.
Penn State,
he had to win this bet.
He's done it a number of times. Drew Aller's been solid this year. Tyler Warren, Mackey winner. He's played every position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, center. Love them. Abdul Carter on the defensive side. They're getting a ton of push. Am I hoping for a miracle? I'm hoping for a tight game late, and we pull it out down the stretch. It would be a great story. But honestly, Doc, like I said to Spencer last week, I didn't want them to play in this game because I want them to stay healthy. We're already in the playoff. But, you know, I will be cheering with many other Penn Staters for the outright win. So I have to go with the outright win, not a cover, an outright win.
So well, you're picking who?
Penn State.
There you go.
Now, Spence, you are admittedly, as I am, you love landing. I'd say the Ducks are your second favorite college team.
Yes.
Pretty. So
and they're from the same landing, tree, Arizona State.
And obviously, you love Josh, but this is kind of your team.
No, and I certainly like Penn State. And Penn State's gone 11-1, so they kind of do deserve it. I mean, 11-1 is fantastic. And to go to Minnesota and win, like, there's so many other teams. Like, look at Georgia almost lost to Georgia Tech. Alabama had the Oklahoma blunder, Ole Miss.
So kind of break it down for us. What do you see
here? So I see Mateo Uiagalelei. Mateo, DJU, who's the quarterback at Florida State. His brother's a fantastic defensive end. Fantastic. He's really, really good. Toyota's son, Tatum Toyota. They have a very good defensive front, Oregon, that is going to try to get after Drew Aller. Drew Aller holds the ball a long time. He can't take massive sacks. That's been the problem for this Penn State offense. If Penn State can run the ball, this should be very competitive because Penn State's defense can be up to the task, okay, and Oregon's offense is a little bit hit or miss with Dylan Gabriel at times. So I think it'll be a very close game. It'll
Has
be
anybody
a one
really,
score game.
We'll talk about Dylan Gabriel. He's a lefty.
Yeah.
He's a super senior. Do you think that Penn State, he hasn't really, I mean, they have a great offensive line. Now, if Penn State really comes after him, he hasn't really been hit much.
No.
Do you think that could be a point in the game?
1,000,000%, because he's not the most mobile guy. He's only 5'10". But he's incredibly accurate, though. And if you give him time, and then against Ohio State, which does have a good defense, the toughest game he played, he shined in that game. So I think both teams are really going to want the game. It's so hard to win a national championship. So if you win a conference title, it still is very successful. These teams are going to be highly motivated. I see Oregon by a touchdown, but I think Penn State, I'll tell you why they have another good chance. It's because they don't have a lot of pressure on them. They got this late invite. James Franklin's not going to overthink this game, but I'm taking Oregon by a touchdown.
Colin?
I just don't think Penn State's good enough to really hang with the number one team in the nation. I'm surprised the spread's this low. I got Oregon.
Charlie, how would you break down this game?
Simple. This is easy pick, man. James Franklin, big game. Come on.
Charlie, don't do that.
It's right.
It's true.
No, I agree with you.
Josh knows his team. You know,
Charlie, I agree with you.
The Penn State fans all are agreeing with Charlie.
So we are going to now have a clear demarcation between our second surprise college pick segment, and now we are going to move into that time, which is the most popular time for Rovers, which is the fearless six games.
Yeah.
Six games, actually. That's a lot. And we're going to roll through until, you know, till the end of this show. So everybody, I know you've been hanging on our picks. Spencer and I have been very hot the last few weeks. And let's roll right in, and we're going to use the same kind of batting order.
All right, so, Doc, we're going to go Thursday night game. Green Bay, 9-3, taking on the hottest team, maybe in football, in Detroit, 11-1. You know,
The game is where?
It's in Detroit. In Detroit, yeah.
Wow. I presume Green Bay is getting points?
Yeah, 3.5.
Okay. On this game, I believe that every dog has its day, and I believe it's time for the Lions to lose. Maybe there's a lot of wishing here. But I've seen Green Bay has looked incredible. Jordan Love is looking great. Their defense is great. It's a fast field, but I think it'll be a good game, and I think it's time for the Lions to lose, to have a slightly off game. And, I really want Green Bay to win this game. I'm picking Green Bay in this contest.
Detroit's really good. I mean, they are really good. First in the league in points scored. They're efficient on third down, fourth in the league. Their defense is strong. They're at home. Bruce, I just don't see it. Detroit wins this game and covers comfortably.
Josh?
I'm going to roll with Dr. Grossinger. I think it's time. You know, at some times, this is the best conference in the NFL right now, and I think Green Bay gets them. I really do.
Excellent. Spence, what do you see? Give us a little bit of analysis of this game and then your pick. Go ahead.
Guess what?
I'm sure you're going to enjoy watching this game.
This is actually a great Thursday night game.
It really
that sounds like a contradiction. That's an oxymoron.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know Dr. Lewis loves Jordan Love, and I think that he's fantastic too.
He's got a great name.
And Green Bay won in Detroit last year. The Lions play everybody tight. Even that second half against the Bears is worrying me about these Lions. At home, fast track, but I love Green Bay. I like a lot of points, so I like the over, and I also like the Packers to win outright.
Oh, yeah.
Packers outright.
Colin Newby, what do you see? This could be a great game. I'm sure you'll be watching it.
Definitely think it's a close one, so I'll go Green Bay on the spread. I'm thinking Detroit outright, but my pick's Green Bay.
Lose on an island.
Charlie, what do you see here?
Jordan Love always seems like he's one dropped interception from a complete disaster every week. And it always seems to get dropped. But I still think Detroit wins. I think you're going to see a backdoor here. I just think Green Bay covers this game. I don't think they win, but I think they find a way to cover.
So a tight one, and they just do a little backdoor, a little bad beat action, right?
Charlie, join me on the island.
Go ahead.
You go from one bad conference, one good conference to a really bad conference out going out west. Seattle, 7-5, travels to Arizona, who's 6-6. Seattle's getting 2.5 points, Doc.
Okay. I believe that Arizona has proven to be a really good team, especially at home. Seattle's been a Jekyll and Hyde team. I don't see Seattle. I'm not calling it a lock, but I feel pretty comfortable this Arizona team playing at home with fans that actually care, with Jonathan Gannon, who I didn't predict to be a good coach. In Seattle is, again, Geno Smith and all that stuff. A home game in Arizona. I'm very comfortable with the Cardinals in this game.
Arizona is on a 2-game losing streak, soon to be a 3-game losing streak. Seattle wins the game and covers.
I like Trey McBride right now, James Conner. I'm going to roll with Kyler Murray in Arizona.
This is my lock of the week.
The lock of the week?
The lock of the week.
You love the Cardinals.
Because all the sharks, because all of the public money is just going to look at the records and just going to see how Seattle's winning. But Seattle could have very easily lost to the Jets.
Easily.
Like they're getting a little lucky. And speaking of unlucky, Arizona had Minnesota dead to rights, let them off the hook. Arizona at home. I love this defense, and I think this is totally Arizona's game to
lock
win.
Of the week.
I love Arizona.
Your lock of the week.
Yes.
Colin.
Lock of the week, Arizona.
I loathe Jonathan Gannon. I'm going the Seahawks, and I'm going outright.
He's my betting boy with his heart and his mind.
Heart and mind.
I'm not a Gannon fan. When Jonathan Gannon literally checked out at the Super Bowl, he was already doing his media appearances during the Super Bowl. Charlie, what do you think?
Charlie's in the lab. What do you got, Charlie?
Charlie's
in the lab.
In the lab.
Kyler Murray is a bum. I will never bet on him.
You'll never bet on him? That's a pretty strong statement.
That's what the lab said, man.
That's a lab.
So your pick is Seattle.
Is your pick Seattle?
Yeah, he's a bum. I can't bet on Kyler. Especially 2.5 at home. They're just begging you to take Arizona.
But that's the Spencer's lock of the week.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to get hooked in.
Okay. It could win. Could easily win.
What's next?
So you got Buffalo. Coming out of the snow, Josh Allen, first quarterback on Sunday night to catch a touchdown pass, throw a touchdown pass, and run for a touchdown pass. They're 10-2. They travel across the country to take on the LA Rams. They're 6-6. I mean, the Rams are, I don't know.
The Rams, I hope, get a lot of points in this game.
They're getting 4.5.
All right. So, for me, I'm not going every dog has his day theory because I don't believe in the Rams. Whose house? Rams house. They always say that. But the Rams don't really have a great crowd.
It's the Bills house.
The Bills, it's just, they're so much of a better team. So I just can't get myself, I don't care how many points, and that's not enough points for me. The Bills are just rolling downhill. The Rams are very average in my view. I'm taking the Bills. I'm pretty comfortable with this pick. Go ahead.
Not the lock of the week, though.
Not the lock of the week.
Listen, the Bills are headed right to the Super Bowl. I mean, they really are. This is a team that's on a 7-game winning streak. They're playing very, very well, and they have the league's runner-up to MVP and Josh Allen, the runner-up to Saquon Barkley. So I'm picking Buffalo. And
the runner-up?
Josh, what do you see in this game?
It's Josh Allen, and it's Buffalo. I think Matthew Stafford, the wheels are coming off. Cooper Kupp struggled last week. Yep. I'm going Buffalo.
Good.
I know. But
there's even take the every dog opinion. Has its fear, day
there
theory.
Are correct. You going to be the are you
contrarian
the dog?
Theory or the don't overthink it theory?
Okay.
And I'm totally not. I'm on Buffalo 1,000,000%. I don't want to bet the Rams at home. The Rams, the Eagles.
You couldn't suck you into betting for
Eagles
that team.
The Eagles really took care of the Rams. The Rams played ugly in the dome in New Orleans. And I think that James Cook, I do like Buffalo. I don't know about them getting this Super Bowl, but I absolutely love them this week, too.
I think you're the first
Colin,
person.
What do you see in this game?
I'll take the Rams. I think 4.5 is a good number, and I like a cover.
Charlie, what do you see here?
Make it make sense. 4.5. I think that the Jets, or I'm sorry, Buffalo is feeling themselves, you know, the national TV, snow game, cross country, half asleep. They may win, but they're not going to cover. I agree with Colin.
All righty. What game is this now, Josh?
This is the fourth game. Come
game
on.
Number four. Okay, we're actually we're timing it very well because we are, as you would say, timing it well. Next game.
We got Jim Harbaugh's Chargers. Justin Herbert. You know, they're playing a lot better than I thought they were going to be. They're 8-4. They are traveling to Taylor Swiftville in Kansas City, who is somehow – Charlie, they find ways to win games at the end. I swear
the refs
God.
Help them.
The refs are definitely in their pocket.
Yep.
They really are.
In one-score game.
So they're going to Kansas City. How many points are the Chargers getting?
The Chargers are getting 4.
They're the opposite of Nebraska.
Okay. You know, it seems that when I bet against the Chiefs, you know, usually with my heart, because I'm really tired of Taylor Swift and Kelce and Mahomes. I like him, but I'm tired of him. But you know what? I can't find myself to bet against them. I'm going to have to take the Chiefs in this game. Go ahead.
I mean, Bruce, I think you just said a mouthful. The only thing you didn't say is that it's a Sunday night game. So Sunday night game, prime time, Arrowhead. It's really, really tough for the.
They got a great crowd. Arrowhead's got a great crowd.
That is a huge, loud crowd that's going to be going on. That being said, I think the Chargers win this game.
Ooh, look at that curveball. He's throwing us some off speed.
Justin Herbert. Yeah.
Josh.
Deal.
Doc, I agree with you. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night. Primetime television, all the stars are going to be out, or at least one, in Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. So I'm going Kansas City.
Probably only one that'll go to Kansas City, Missouri.
But only one.
Only
Taylor
one
Swift
celebrity.
Going. A little too cold, right?
Yeah. So I this is a game that you should absolutely stay away from 1,000,000%.
I would.
It's right in the zone of Kansas City, like by 3 or 3.5. But I do agree that Kansas City, like, they need to put a full game together. And I think that they can win by a touchdown, right? So I'm gonna take Kansas City as well.
Colin?
I'll go with the Chargers here and possibly outright, but we'll stay with the spread.
Charlie.
What's the current line?
4.5.
4.5.
I'm sorry, 4.
It's 4. It's going down by the hour.
I vowed never bet against Patrick Mahomes, but I think this is, look, I took Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. I'm stuck with them. But I think at the end of the day, I just think that this looks like a San Diego outright win all over it, so I will stick with the Chargers. San Diego, as soon as old I am. L.A. Chargers.
No, you can say San Diego. We still call the Washington team the Redskins, and luckily we haven't had to pick them very much.
The Oilers.
So,
hopefully that name's coming back, the Redskins.
I hope so. And a lot of Native Americans, they deserve to be honored
with that.
That
logo could be coming back.
And so, yes, that would be great. Game 5.
Atlanta, 6-6. I mean, to take it traveling up to Minnesota. Minnesota's 10-2.
Wait, yeah.
The line's 5.5. Atlanta's getting 5.5.
All right. Again, you know, they're trying to bait me.
That face says it all.
They're trying to bait me.
You don't want to watch this
game. I'm just not
game,
in Atlanta. And I don't really like either team particularly. And since Arthur Smith left Atlanta, I'm not sure I've watched them. But I believe that Atlanta is not a good team. In Minnesota, they're at home. They know their dome. If they've got some good fans, I'm taking Minnesota.
I agree with you. I think that this is what was the line on this one? 5.5?
Yes, sir.
5.5. I think they blow the doors off them, the Vikings.
I think Minnesota is on pace. This is another win.
I'll take a divergent view, try to pick one off on the field. Kirk Cousins has been terrible lately.
Yes.
He's thrown 6 interceptions, but this is the revenge game. He's going back up north. Guess what? Minnesota, they don't beat teams by a lot. They usually win on late field goals. I'm going to go a little upset special. I'll take Atlanta. I'll take Atlanta on the road, actually, to win the game.
Colin?
I think 5.5 is too big of a number. I'll go Falcons.
Charlie?
the best thing that ever happened to Kirk Cousins is it's a new week. He's going back to Minnesota. I agree. I think he plays a very above-average game, and I think Atlanta covers.
Wow.
The game of the week. Wow. The wonderful Panthers. With our last, we have 4 minutes left, and that's just the exact right amount of time to dissect this game.
So, Doc, you have Carolina 3-9. Coming home to Philadelphia. Philadelphia hasn't been home in, what, over a month?
Yep.
So
with this crazy schedule.
10.5. They're 10-2. They look like they're headed to the Super Bowl.
They're giving what is the spread?
12.5.
Okay. For me, believe it or not, this is my lock of the week. That was a college lock. This is my lock of the week. 10.5 is a huge amount of points. I believe that the Eagles are going to rest Dallas Goedert, even though he has a knee strain. They're not going to play Devontae Smith, even though he probably could play. They are going to be very uninspired. The Eagles are definitely winning, but that's a massive spread. So I'm taking the points and the Panthers in this game. Eagles will win. Too many points. This is a trap game before the Steelers. I'm taking the Panthers. Go ahead, Steve.
Bruce, I'm all about trap games, and I identify them all season long, but I don't think this is a trap game. I mean, you're talking about the Carolina Panthers' rush defense is putrid. They're a league worst, 32nd in the league. So the question is, does Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni stick with the program and don't deviate and let Saquon run the ball? Are they going to do this? Are they going to stick to the program? If they do, this is going to be a blowout. I mean, 10 isn't enough. No way. Eagles and all the way.
Go ahead, Josh, what do you see here?
Bryce Young has looked pretty good lately. However, there's no way. This is like playing a D2 football team on defense. Saquon Barkley's going to have a field day with
him. Field day, 220
yards. I'm worried about Saquon and these props because I think that this is exactly the week, Steve, to try to deviate from the plan because you have to try to get Jalen Hurts confident.
Nope.
You have to try to keep A.J. Brown happy.
Nope.
You have to keep Hurts happy. This is a team on the road like bad teams. Like, here's the thing is that Bryce Young and the Panthers, they should have beaten the Bucs last week. Like, they're playing a lot better football, the Panthers are. But so were the Titans when they went up to Washington to play the Redskins. So
right.
I look at...
The Titans are horrible.
I look at... By the way, I'm sure Charlie or Steve, one of you guys can find this out. The Eagles have probably covered 7 straight games. So I'm just going to roll with the team that's, like, literally covering every game. So I'll take the Eagles against a bad road team.
Colin, what do you see? That ton of points. What do you think in this one?
I just can't take Carolina seriously. I got the Eagles here.
Okay, Charlie, you're the anchor man.
Colin with the
I'm not saying I take him seriously, but that's a hell of a lot of points.
Not,
and the Eagles just don't blow out. They don't blow up many teams.
It is a look-ahead spot, absolutely.
They're going to win by 20 points.
Yeah. Charlie, what do you think here? It's an interesting game.
I couldn't agree more, man. Don't be shocked if this is a close game in the fourth quarter. I love Carolina this week.
Is this the Charlie Bowles Rover Sports
you know
Lock of the
really
Week?
I love when Charlie and I pick the same way. It makes me feel great.
Uh-oh, Bryce.
Charlie, is this your lock of the week?
Uh-oh.
I took him at 13. I took him at 13. The second the line came out, I was like, thank you very much. I'm on borderline money line in this game.
The only way this happens is if Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore deviate from the plan. If they do, Nick Sirianni needs to be fired immediately.
Okay, I'm going to make a comment.
Bryce Young has played fantastic the last 4 weeks. Like he's not fantastic, but he saved his job, number one. And I watch, like I said, unfortunately, good or bad, I watch almost every game, like at least 3/4 of every game if I can. Bryce Young looks like an NFL quarterback the last 4 weeks.
So I believe, just in final commentary, just in counterpoint, I believe that the Eagles are going to do load management this week. Okay, they really are going to not run Saquon that many times. They're going to go load management in advance of the Steelers game. They're going to run Kenny Gainwell. You're going to see a lot of Will Shipley. You're going to see your boy,
you may even see
John Dotson.
What about Joel Embiid? Is
and
he
Joel Embiid is actually come
Josh
out.
Josh Harris going to bring the boys.
He's
going
to come out. Joel Embiid is actually going to be playing a D tackle for this game. That you'll see the Eagles be so uninspired, and they just want to win the game, and they know they're playing against a terrible team. So that's why I pick the Panthers. So this has been a wonderful day. We are now, we're trifurcated, whatever that word means.
Great word.
We have 3 segments. We want to thank everybody for watching.
We're going to have three beautifully prepared segments by Matthew Vito. We want to thank Colin Newby. All the Rovers are in the house. As we always say, good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.